Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Friar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Harmelite, a.k.a. the Frank Friar, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all, that is right, from Da Bronx here in New York City. And today I wanted to share just a little experience I had recently. I went to a Jewish community center previous weekend, and they're having a five-part series on the Torah. So each Sunday evening, there's a different discussion amongst two people on a certain book of the Torah. And I went, the most recent one was the Exodus. And there's a lot of great things. There was a scholar there from Israel, and then there was sort of a novice, someone that wasn't like deeply trained in sort of Torah thought and in Jewish history and et cetera, but a well-educated person nonetheless. And they just went back and forth on a variety of different themes and from the book of Exodus. Now, one of the reasons I went was because during Lent, if you do the, if you pray the divine office, the office of readings, one of the hours within the office is an hour that has, I don't want to put this, the Psalms, but then you have two readings. And a majority of the first reading is from Exodus. That was probably a terrible description, but if you just go to like ibravery.com, I believe, or .org, you can see what I'm talking about right there. So I wanted to maybe gain a little bit of a different perspective on Exodus, you know, because I've been praying the breviary for many years now. I thought, oh, this might give me a good perspective and et cetera. And one of the things that came through in this conversation was the notion of humiliation. And that's not a word I don't think any culture really particularly likes. No one likes to be humiliated, but yet when these gentlemen were talking back and forth, and they talked a lot about Moses, the formation of a people, you know, one's relationship with God and all these really beautiful things. But, you know, if you look at a majority, at least two-thirds of the book of Exodus, you see these people that are being brought out of the land of Egypt, a movement from bondage to freedom, and they keep messing up. Moses messes up, Miriam messes up, Aaron messes up. They're all a bunch of mess-ups. One of the only people that sort of comes out unscathed is Jethro, you know, sort of the priest of Midian, you know, the father-in-law of Moses, and then he's a pretty decent man within the text of Exodus. And then, of course, at the end, there's the building of the tabernacle and the house of God, and that's its own little probably podcast episode for another time. But this humiliation, you know, why would a people allow such a book and such stories to be maintained? You know, you think you'd want to maintain stories about your heroic virtue or your people's heroic virtue and all that sort of stuff. But no, there's a maintaining of we were mess-ups. And these people in Exodus had the immediacy of God before them, the column of fire, the cloud before them, you know, these profound, miraculous acts. But of course, as you go through the Torah, those become less and less and less and less. You know, and then you go into some of the books of Joshua, and you follow sort of the general Jewish timeline through those books, and you see this immediacy of God, these miraculous acts of God, sort of decreasing ever so more amongst the people. And that is, and I've touched my last podcast, I've touched this one, that's why humility is of the utmost importance. It is in humility that we understand that we are in a true position of neediness, that we need God. Now, that's not, you know, God doesn't lord it over us, but it is our reality nonetheless. His love is not patronizing, bopping us on the head, oh, you poor little ones. No, he came down and entered into our condition, taking on the humanity he himself made, taking on flesh to bring us out of this state we have brought ourselves into. But yet, we have to be able to see how messed up we are. We have to see how idolatrous our hearts can become, how off the mark we can be, and not let that be a source of shame where we don't sort of acknowledge God because we're so caught up in our own vanity, even when we're acknowledging our sinfulness, that we just lick our own wounds. But in that guilt and the compunction that comes from that, being able to look upon the cross and say, Lord, you can bring me out of this. You can save me out. You can save us. You can do it. Please help us. Please help us. And I've never sort of, I don't want to put this, viewed the book of Exodus from that position of humiliation, the humiliation of quote unquote God's chosen people. You know, they were the less of all nations, as we're told in a variety of different places within the Old Testament. They were, you know, not because of their greatness, but because of their littleness and their sort of runtness. They were chosen in order to show who God was to the other nations. And that's not a particularly fun thing for us to sit with and stew upon, that in our sinfulness and our brokenness, you know, we are in a constant stance, for lack of a better word, of regular humiliations, of creating things that we think will make us better, make our lives a little bit more perfect, and then suddenly it all falls apart. Or we put these things into practice and they fall apart. We prop up our politicians and our stars and all the people that have fame and all this sort of stuff, and they crumble because they can't take that pressure of an idolatrous gaze upon them. This movement of the Jewish people through the desert is a wake-up call for us. That's why we mirror it as best as we can during Lent, this 40 days of journeying with God in a profound way, where we understand the true twistedness, the true brokenness, the true fallenness of our human hearts. Not as a we're an utter filth, you know, total depravity sort of way, but in that acknowledgement of our twistedness and of our fallenness, we become ever more aware of our need of God and of the love of God and the salvation that he offers us through his son, Jesus Christ. It's when we see the hollowness of our heart, not because we created that hollowness, but because that hollowness was meant to be filled by him in relationship from the beginning when we were supposed to walk in the garden. Now, I'm still stewing with a lot of these things. My thoughts aren't wrapped up in tight little bows. I just put these things out there as hopefully a means for us all to wrestle with, as Jacob wrestled with the angel and had his name changed to Israel, the one who wrestles with God. We are called to embrace that mantle and wrestle with this relationship that we have with God. And through this wrestling, we understand the importance of humility. And in that humility, the profound gift of yes, a yes spoken in love for the God who has called us forward in love, who has come to meet with us and to stare us in the eyes, not from above, but from the stance of our littleness. Now, hopefully this little insight that I have received, and I probably maybe didn't do the best job of conveying it. I try my best, but I am too an imperfect messenger. But I hope that maybe helps you throughout this Lent when we hear some different things from Exodus and we understand the journey of 40 days and the humiliation that might be going through or went through those people's mind, knowing that they were chosen, they were brought up, but here they are stuck in that mentality of slavery to sin and just wandering for 40 years. And how do our own bonds of sin bind us and keep us in this mentality of slavery when we are called to be free children of God? And the humiliation that our sins bring about in our lives, impacting us in a way that just frustrates us to such a depth of the heart that it's beyond words at certain times maybe in our life. So my brothers and sisters, even though our sins may bring us into a moment of humiliation, our God never ceases to love us. He always loves us. He gazes upon us with his love. May in those moments of humiliation come about from our own wrongdoings and etc. be a moment where we can embrace that virtue of humility and allow ourselves just to be reoriented and focus upon that loving gaze so we can continue to journey throughout the season of Lent, preparing ourselves to rejoice in the gift of slavery that comes from the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Thank you very much. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here in my podcast, my brothers and sisters, please make sure to click that subscribe button and leave a review. It really does help me out. If you want more of my content, go over to my website, thefrankfryer.com. On my website, thefrankfryer.com, you can find links to my Catholic Stand articles, my blog posts. You can find links to my YouTube channel, but you can also email me through the contact page. And if you're discerning vocation, there's a vocation tab there too. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'll be praying for you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.